Jamie Rangel is joining me right now. And Jamie, is it Hy-Vee or is it Jamie?
Well, Martha, I've grown up in Northwest Georgia practically my whole life, and I've been called both Jamie and Hy-Vee, and I take no offense. So
okay, great.
I'm down with whatever y'all want to call me, Jamie or Hy-Vee. I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's great. And you're with Forward.us, and I wanted for you to give people just kind of an update on the cases related to DACA, because we're coming up with 10 years of DACA. There's cases in the courts right now. I know you've been very involved in that. So can you give us an update?
Yeah. So, in fact, before we went onto the show, there was a debriefer that was on and kind of explained it already. There is a decision. There is a court. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday heard an appeal from the administration and Malta, Department of Justice and Malta, to appeal the decision from the lower court in Texas that is trying to end the program of DACA on the basis of the constitutionality. Given yesterday's hearing, this Fifth Circuit is a very antagonistic court. It's not really a court that represents the view of 75% of the country that wants a solution for DACA recipients, who want Dreamers to stay. And we believe the outcome could come out ugly, and the DACA program could be in a situation where recipients of the program, or the very popular program, will not be able to renew their work permit, will not be able to go to our schools and teach our students, will not be able to go to our hospitals and heal those who are sick, and will not be able to contribute to the economy. So it's a very scary situation for recipients, not just in Georgia, but across the country.
So overwhelmingly, I think most people, and if you explain what a DACA kid is, that's a kid that has been brought here to the United States with their parents. Their parents have brought them here illegally, but basically they have only known the United States as their home. And what, even among people like me who are very much have a problem with the way our immigration system is right now, and I think we have way too much illegal immigration into this country, and that we have lots of things we need to fix, okay? But I see, that this is a group of people, that have been expected to have some kind of grace from the United States of America. And they have for the last 10 years. Two questions. This could have been codified in law. There have been opportunities. I mean, at the beginning of the Trump administration, there was an offer from President Trump that if you could give us some money for the border wall, we'll give you some protection for DACA. And that was not dealt with. We seem to have this ongoing problem with Congress not being able to codify the things in law that they should, and then they just wait for the courts to decide things. So, how do we get out of this mess?
Yeah, and Martha, I just want to echo, you're not alone on the frustration. The frustration is on both sides of the aisle, and you mentioned this program is very, very popular, and it's just crazy that both sides of the aisle, and this bears the fault of both sides of the aisle of not being grown up and doing the will of the American people. And it's going to come a time, unfortunately, through this court, whatever the decision happens out of Texas, it's going to wind up in the Supreme Court. Win or lose, there's going to be appeals, and we're going to go to the Supreme Court, guaranteed. But the reality is that Congress needs to wake up, and it's unfortunate that we've waited till things get ugly, and then Congress reacts, and it shouldn't be like that, Martha. It really shouldn't. And I'll give you an example. Here in Georgia, we are just an example of how we could be moving the immigration conversation the right way is that here in Georgia, we worked with Representative Casey Carpenter, a representative from that lives in the 5th House District up in Dalton, who lives in a very conservative congressional district, worked with Democrats to propose a legislation that will allow DACA recipients to pay in-state tuition if they can prove that they grew up in Georgia, and which most of them have, and who are, being here, working hard to get in-state tuition. And that's a good example of legislators working together, doing the will of the people of Georgia, doing the will of the American people, and trying to put legislation forward. And at the end of the day, Martha, Congress needs to act. They need to grow up, realize that, the malarkey is going to hit the fan, and if they don't act, people's lives are going to be devastated. And not just DACA recipients, you have to understand, we work in different industries. We have a labor shortage right now in this country. We have an inflation problem in this country. There's no denying that. But passing immigration reform or allowing DACA recipients to be in this country to have a peace of mind helps curb that inflation, helps continue contributing to the country, like I'll give you an example. We have $1.3 billion in spending power alone in Georgia, and we contribute $100 million in the state and local taxes in the state of Georgia. I mean, come on, this will affect our state. It will only hurt our labor shortages. It would only hurt, continue to hurt inflation if Congress does not wake and act.
So what can the average person do? Because we're waiting for the courts right now. But what can the average person do?
Martha, I think what the average person can do and should do is call their member of Congress and say, y'all stop bickering. This is a group of people that over 75% of the country agrees should stay in this country. And we need a permanent legislative solution. People just need to pick up the phone and call their congressman and call their U.S. senators to act, because both sides need to come together. They need to grow up and find a solution. I'm frustrated, Martha. Like you mentioned earlier, a lot of people are frustrated because it's a very popular program, and yet Congress cannot act.
So how does Forward, are they taking a position at all on the crossings at the border right now and all of that sort of thing, or are they focused primarily on DACA?
Right now, we are focused on our great, like I'll say, our goal is to fix our broken immigration system. We have issues at the border because our immigration system is broken. We don't have a way for people to come here through a legal process, and the only process they have, for example, is to seek asylum. And when they get to the border trying to seek asylum, that process in itself is broken, as you can see. So our goal is to work together with people on the Hill, no matter what party affiliation, and to try to fix our broken immigration system. Right now, for example, I will say that DACA is on top of our agenda. We're trying to work with Congress to find a solution. We're trying to work with the administration to find a solution, because this is, like I mentioned earlier, this is going to be in a situation where recipients might not be able to renew once the appeals court makes a decision, and that's a scary situation to be in right now. We're talking about over 600,000 individuals around the country all of a sudden not being able to renew the work permit and not being able to go to work. And I want the listeners to understand that renewing a work permit, we have to do it every 2 years. We have to show to the government we're not criminals. And this is a very tedious and expensive process, but yet we're doing it because we're given an opportunity to show the country who we really are, and that we're just here to contribute, to be a part of a society, and to help our country grow.
So what do you see as the next step here? Because, you know, I think that most people would want to see DACA codified into law so that people knew what the rules were. But also, you know, I think we need big changes in our immigration system. I think we need, you know, I was a big supporter of the RAISE Act, okay, where I think that got us in the right direction, because it actually got us to where we were going to clear out some of these green cards, and we were going to be able to look at things a little bit more on a merit basis. But it didn't even get to a debate. We've got to actually have real debates on this, because if we don't, we're never going to solve this problem.
Martha, I 100% agree. And this is why I wanted to come onto your show, because we need to have that dialogue. And I think the American people want to hear that dialogue. They want to hear us talk about our broken immigration system through a different perspective, because unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation, for instance, of who Dreamers are, of like of what we're actually trying to be here and to do. And people assume that being legal, getting in line. Well, for us, there is no line, unfortunately. There is no line for us to, you know, be part of this country and find a pathway to citizenship. There's no part of that.
So let me ask you a quick question. So the Trump proposal that he did at the beginning of his time as president, which was basically allowing the DACA kids as well as their parents to get legal status. Was that something you all were in favor of at the time?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
The Trump proposal at the beginning of his term as president was actually, you know, the DACA kids at that time, I think the number was 670,000. I don't remember exactly what the number was, but it also included their parents, a legal status for their parents. Was that something at the time you guys could have been in favor of? It never got to a legislative proposal because Nancy Pelosi said no right out of the gate, because they wanted to have funding for the wall included too. But it sounded to me like a very reasonable proposal at the time.
Unfortunately, that legislation remained a proposal, but what we did during the time is that we worked with both sides of the aisle to move legislation forward and put that in writing and move something across the finish line. And that's what we were doing at the time. We have to understand that we need to work together. Yeah. We understand we need to work together, and we're going to continue doing that right now, and we're going to continue pushing for legislative solutions that reflect the will of the American people.
So if people want to know more about Forward, how can they do that?
Sure thing. It's very simple. We have a website that you can visit at fwd.us. And we have a lot of good information there. In fact, we just came out with a new report that extends, like, a report that is called A Decade of DACA, From Students to Careers and Families. And it shows an overview of where DACA recipients are 10 years into the program. And it's very interactive. For example, in Georgia, we have a population of 20,000 individuals. The average age now is, the average year they live in this country have been over 20 years. 37,000 U.S. citizens, and this is very key, is that 37,000 U.S. citizens live with DACA recipients. We have individuals who live in mixed-status families, where, let's say, for example, we have a brother who is a U.S. citizen, but unfortunately, the young sister is a DACA recipient. Because of our broken immigration system, you know, we have these mixed status families. So that's a key number there. I encourage people to go visit that website and learn more about, about DACA recipients, our work at Forward, and how we're trying to work together to pass common sense solutions that represent the will of the American people.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Jamie, for being with us. Jamie Rango from Forward US. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Martha. You have a blessed day. Thank you.
Back now on a Monday afternoon with